sahanavavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavit vishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Welcome everyone to our next Vishnu Sahasranama class and meditation. As you know, we are doing this every week while the pandemic is going on and all of us are at home. We are unable to have in-person classes at the ashram. Before we begin, I would suggest you can bring out your Vishnu Sahasranama PDF from our website, both for the Purva Bhaga and the Sahasranama actual names, that PDF, or if you have a favorite book that you use, you can bring that out as well. And as before, we'll chant the opening prayers together and also the verses that we saw last time together before we see new verses. Join me, please. Vishnu Gayatri. Om Narayanaya Vidmahe Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tanno Vishnu Prachodayat. Shuklam Varadharam Vishnum Shashivarnam Chaturbhujam Prasannavadanam Dhyayet Sarva Vikno Pashantaye. Vyasam Vasishtha Naptaram Shakte Pautramakalmasham Parasharatmajam Vande Shukatatam Taponidhim. Vyasaya Vishnu Rupaya Vyasa Rupaya Vishnave Namo Vai Brahma Nidhaye Vasishthaya Namo Namaha. Avikaraya Shuddhaya Nityaya Paramatmane Sadaika Rupa Rupaya Vishnave Sarva Jishnave. Yasya Smarana Matrena Janma Samsara Bandhanat Vimuchyate Namastasmai Vishnave Prabha Vishnave. Om Namo Vishnave Prabha Vishnave. And now we'll begin with the Sahasranama. We'll chant verse 1 together and then jump to verse 71, which was what we saw last time. Join me, please. Om Vishvam Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Bhuta Krit Bhuta Bhrit Bhavo Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. And now going to verse 71.
Brahmanyo Brahma Krit Brahma 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 Vivardhanaha Brahma Vit Brahmano Brahmi Brahmagnyo Brahmana Priyaha. Mahakramo Mahakarma Mahateja Mahoragaha Mahakartur Mahayajva Mahayaknyo Mahavihi. Stavyastava Priyastotram Stuti Stotarana Priyaha Purna Purayita Punyaha Punya Kirtiranamayaha. Manojavastirthakaro Vasureta Vasupradaha Vasupradaha Prado Vasudevo Vasur Vasumanahavihi. Sadgati Satkriti Satta Sadbhuti Satparayanaha Shuraseno Yadushreshtaha Sannivasa Suyamunaha. Bhuta Vaso Vasudevaha Sarva Sunilayo Nalaha Darpaha Darpado Drupto Durdharotha Parajitaha. Vishwamurtir Mahamurtir Deepta Murtir Ramurtiman Aneka Murtir Avyaktaha Shatamurtishatananaha. Eko naikasavakkim yattat padamanuttamam lokabandhur lokanatho madhavo bhaktavatsalaha. Suvarnavarno hemango varangaschandanangadi viraha vishamashunyo Dhruta Shira Chalaschalaha. Amani Manado Manyo Loka Swami Triloka Druk Sumedha Medha Jodhanyaha Satya Medha Dharadharaha. So we saw up to verse 80 in the last class. And today we'll begin with verse 81. For these new verses, you can listen and repeat after me.
Tejo vrisho dhyutidharaha, Tejo vrisho dhyutidharaha, Sarva shastra brutam varaha, Sarva shastra brutam varaha, Pragraho nigraho vyagro, Prakraho nikraho vyagro Naika shringo gadagrajaha Naika shringo gadagrajaha. Tejo, tejo vrishaha. Tejas means brilliance and vrisha means water. So one who is in the form of brilliance or one who is in the form of water. Indirectly, the translation says rain showerer. Indirectly, Vishnu is one who is in the form of sun, the sun which showers blessings upon us as heat and light, and also because of which rains form. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 19, Krishna tells Arjuna that I heat up the world and withhold and release the rain. So Krishna or Vishnu is Teja, Tejo Vrishaha. Dhyuti Dharaha. Dhyuti means brilliance or glow. Dhyuti Dharaha is one who is radiant, one who has brilliance in the limbs of his form. And you know, it's like when you see someone, there are a few people that you might have come across in your life who just have this radiance, this brilliance, this glow about them. So this is talking about Vishnu as being that kind of glow or radiance. Sarva shastra bhrutam varaha. Varaha, the best. Shastra bhrutam. Shastra bhruts are wielders of weapons. Those who wield weapons are called shastra bhrut. Sarva shastra bhrutam. Amongst all the wielders of weapons, varaha. The one who is superior or best among all the weapon wielders. Pragraha. Pragraha means rain. One who is like the rain when controlling the senses. That is one meaning of pragraha. Pragraha, one who is like the rain which controls the senses. The meaning that's given on the in the handout is receiver.
another meaning for pragraha is one who receives the offerings of the devotees with great delight. Nigraha is a controller. Nigraha is one who controls. So how does Vishnu control? How is he the controller? One who controls through order and discipline, through the laws of karma, that is Ishwara, that is Vishnu. So that is Nigraha. Nigraha. Vyagraha. Agraha means end. And Vyagraha is one who has no end, endless. Another meaning is one who is very attentive in granting the prayers of the devotees, one who takes extreme care in making sure we get what is due to us through our own actions, through karma, through our karmas, we get the appropriate karma phalas. Naika shringaha, na eka shringaha. Shringa means horns, and not one horn, na eka, not one horn. It is referring to chatushringaha, shringaha, four horned, one who has four horns. And the four horns could represent the four, the words in the form of the four Vedas. So the four Vedas can be symbolically superimposed on the four horns. Gadagra jaha. Gadagra jaha. Jaha, to be born. Born. Gadagra, several meanings. Gadagra, one who is received by the first mantra called Nigada. So there is a mantra called Nigada. Nigada, and Sanskrit rules allow that it drops the knee, so it becomes Gada. So the one who receives this Nigada mantra is Gadagra. And Gada Agraja is also another reference for the elder brother of Gada, who is another son of Vasudeva. So Krishna's brother, older brother Gada, and Agraja, born, the one who is born before Krishna, is Gada Agrajaha, son of Vasudeva. Verse 82. Chatur. So this verse has a lot of alliterations. All the words, almost all the names, begins with chatur, meaning four. Well, listen and repeat, please. Chatur murtish chatur bahuhu. Chatur murtish chatur bahuhu. Chatur vyuhash chatur gatihi. Chatur vyuhash chatur gatihi. Chaturatma chatur bhavash chatur bhavascha. Chaturatma chatur bhavascha. Chatur veda veda. Chatur veda. Sorry. Chatur veda veda ekapat. Chatur veda veda ekapat. Chatur Veda Vid Ekapat. Sorry about that. Chatur Veda Vid Ekapat. Chatur Veda Vid Ekapat. Let's just repeat this verse because I was making a few errors. Listen and repeat. Chatur Murtish Chatur Bahuhu. Chatur Murtish Chatur Bahuhu. Chatur Vyuhash Chatur Gatihi. Chatur vyuhash chatur gatihi. Chaturatma chatur bhavash. Chaturatma chatur bhavash. Chatur vedvid vedavid ekapat. Chatur vedavid ekapat. Chatur murtihi. Murtihi means, murti is a form. Chatur murtihi, four formed, having four forms. And there are several interpretations for this. One with four aspects or four forms can be taken as Virat, which is the Samashti Sthula Prapancha, Hiranyagarbha, which is the Samashti Sukshma Prapancha, the entire, the gross physical elements of the entire universe, the collective subtle elements, samashti karana prapancha, which is pure, which is the collective causal elements, and then the fourth as turiyam, which is pure consciousness. This is what we see in the Mandukya Karika that many of you are studying, listening to as well. Another way to divide this four form could be as Brahma, as Brahmaji as the creator, Vishnu as the sustainer, and Shiva and Rudra, to whom the universe goes back. And the fourth is the Shuddham Chaitanyam, Shuddham Brahma, pure consciousness, the one who knows these four other three forms. And another reference is given as the one with four forms of colors, of white, red, yellow, and black. I am presuming these colors refer to the representation of Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. I couldn't find a reference for that, but that was my thinking. So Chaturmurtihi, the one with four forms, four aspects. Chaturbahuhu, bahu means arm, so the one who has four arms. And just a recollection of the symbolism of the four arms. One arm of Vishnu, one arm is held in the Abhaya Mudra with the palm open. This Abhaya Mudra is the mudra for blessing or promise of freedom from fear. One hand, the two back hands, one holds the chakra, which is the discus that Vishnu uses in the Puranic stories to destroy enemies. But the chakra can be representative, symbolic of not only destroying Puranic enemies or enemies in the Puranic stories, but also our own internal enemies like Raga, Dvesha, Krodha, Lobha, Moha. The other hand carries a Shankha or the conch, which beckons us, which kind of reminds us that to understand that everything is Ishvara, everything within us, outside of us, the whole creation is Ishvara. And the fourth arm carries a gada or a mace, which is a tool for discipline, representing discipline. So chatur bahuhu, chatur vyuha. So vyuha is the meaning of vyuha is manifestations. And this is different from the chaturmurtihi, the four forms, where manifestations can be interpreted in a couple of ways. One is the manifestation of this universe as the physical order, the biological and physiological order, the emotional and psychological order, and the order of the intellect or the buddhi. So this is a fourfold manifestation of the universe, based on different orders. In the Aitriya Upanishad, Lord is manifest in four ways, and it's mentioned in the Aitriya Upanishad, manifest in four ways as the Sharira Purusha, one manifest in the body, the Chandaha Purusha, manifest in the Chandas meter of the Vedas. A lot of the verses in the Vedas are in the Chandas meter. The Veda Purusha, manifest in the Vedas itself, and Mahapurusha, manifest as time. So another interpretation of Chaturvyuha, four manifestations, can be as Sharira Purusha, Chanda Purusha, Veda Purusha, and Mahapurusha. Chaturgatihi, gati means goal or path, but here gati, chaturgati refers to the four ashramas, based on the stage of one's life. As you all know, the four ashramas are the Brahmacharya ashrama of student, where the main purpose of that Brahmacharya ashrama is to study and be engrossed in Brahman. The Grihastha Ashrama, which is conventionally the life of the ashrama of a householder, where one advances in life by getting married, having children, continuing to follow dharma and performing the karmas related to Grihastha Ashrama. Vanaprastha Ashrama, the life of retirement, also life of withdrawal in the sense the primary focus becomes spiritual growth. You kind of let go of the grip on family life, let go of the grip on controlling children, on helping children. I see many parents continuing to being engaged is one thing in your adult children's life, but a lot of problems begin when you want your adult children to do things the way you want them to do it, and forgetting that they are adults and they have their own way even when they have children. So many problems arise when the grandparents, for a strong word, interfere or advise when it's not asked on how to raise children. And then there are unnecessary clashes between daughter-in-law, son, you all know that too well. And then finally comes the sannyasa ashrama, where the entire life is devoted to spiritual pursuit, to growth. And this growth and sadhana can be in many forms. It can be by constant listening to the scriptures, by study of the scriptures, by nididhyasana. And nididhyasana can be done in many ways, including parayanam, which is the chanting of scriptures, chanting of the Vishnu Sahasranama. It can be in kathanam, in discussing with others, having a mini satsang on what has been learnt and what you have understood. It can be in meditation, upasana. So there are many ways spiritual growth can continue. Just because sannyasa ashrama traditionally is supposed to be for spiritual growth, exclusively for one's growth, it doesn't mean that in the other three ashramas, growth doesn't happen or doesn't need to happen. No matter which ashrama we are in, our continued growth needs to be the primary priority in our lives, whether we are bringing up children, whether we are working, whether we are taking care of parents, whatever ashrama, whatever role we have in life, we continue to do that with an attitude of karma yoga, which leads to our growth. Then chatur atma, here atma means mind. So the one whose mind is skillful, one who has great power, one who is endowed with a great mental capacity. Another interpretation is one who has the four functions of the internal sense organs. The antakarna are the internal sense organs, usually divided into four as mind, intellect, ego and memory. Manas, buddhi, ahankara and chitta. So this chaturatma refers to that. Chatur bhavaha. Bhavaha is a goal, or the source of four goals, chatur bhavaha. So one who is in the form of the four goals, and many of you know the four goals typically mentioned in the scriptures is dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And these four goals have come, the source of these four goals is Vishnu, chatur bhavaha. Chatur veda vit, the one who knows the four Vedas. Veda vit is one who knows the Vedas. One who knows the four Vedas is chatur veda vit. And ekapath, pada is a quarter. Ekapath is one who has one quarter or one part. And this refers to, could refer to the Purusha Suktam, when the Lord, where it is said, Padosya Vishwabhutani, from one part of the Lord came all creatures, all bhutas. And also in Bhagavad Gita 10, chapter verse 42, where Krishna says, "Ekam shena sthito jagat." So from a small part, from an amsha of him, the whole universe, world arose. Verse 83.
Samavarto nivrittatma, samavarto nivrittatma, durjayo duratikramaha, durjayo duratikramaha, durlabho durgamo durgo, durlabho durgamo durgo, duravaso durariha, duravaso durariha.
Samavartaha. Avarta means turning around. Samavartaha is not one who turns around, but one who keeps the cycle of creation going. One who whirls the wheel of samsara, one who rotates or revolves the wheel of samsara and the cycle of creation, life and birth and death continue to go on. Anivruttatma. Nivritta means separated. Anivritta is one who is never separated. One who is not separated from anything or anywhere because he is all-pervading. Ishvara as Brahman is all-pervading. And another meaning for Nivrutatma is one whose mind is turned away from what? From all sense objects. The one whose mind is turned back from all sense objects. Durjayaha, durjayaha, jaya to conquer, with difficulty. So the one who is invincible, who is difficult to conquer. Duratikramaha, one whose order, atikrama is order, one whose order cannot be transgressed. That's why it says untransgressed, one whose order cannot be transgressed. And they give the example that even the heavenly objects like the sun do not dare oppose Vishnu out of fear of the sun, out of fear of Vishnu, the one who is dura atikramaha. Durlabaha, lab means to obtain or gain. So the one who is difficult to obtain, who is difficult, cannot be gained easily. And in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8 verse 22, it says, Krishna says that he can be attained by bhakti. So the one who is difficult to obtain, to understand, but easily done so by bhakti. And that is what we are doing. Durgamaha, the one who is difficult to know or attain. Durgaha is one who is difficult to approach, the fierce one. One, the attainment of whom is made difficult because of objects. Because of our of obstacles, the main obstacle being our own ignorance. Durgaha. Duravasaha. Duravasaha is one who is difficult to retain, one who is not easily retained in the mind. And it's said that yogis are able to retain Ishvara or retain this knowledge, yogis bring him to reside in their hearts in samadhi. So you have to go to samadhi to be able to retain Ishvara in this form. Durariha, hunt to kill, so the one who is the killer or the slayer of enemies. Verse 84.
Shubhango lokasarangaha, shubhango lokasarangaha, sutantustantu vardhanaha, sutantustantu vardhanaha, Indra karma maha karma, krutak
karma kruta gamaha, kruta karma kruta gamaha. Shubha angaha, the one who has auspicious or beautiful limbs. And it is considered, this in an avatara, it is every part of the body is beautiful. Every limb of the body is a blessing. And this is taken up elaborately in various forms of meditation, where a certain part or certain limb of an avatara will be meditated upon in a very beautiful aspect, in a very beautiful form. Loka sarangaha. Sara means essence. Saranga is a honeybee. So loka sarangaha, taking one who takes the world's essence. So one who takes the essence of the world extending this is Vishnu is attained through pranava or om. Om being the essence of all the worlds. So the one who takes the essence of all the worlds is loka sarangaha. Sutantuhu. Sutantu. Tantu is a thread or a yarn or a string. Sutantu is he through whom this universe is beautifully strung together or extended. Sutantuhu, expanded. Tantu vardhanaha. Vardhana means to grow. So the one who expands this world in this as a string through Vishnu, this whole universe is expanded as a thread. Indra karma, of mighty deeds. One whose actions are like that of Indra. Indra being the king of the gods, his deeds or actions are exalted and glorified. So Vishnu is one whose actions are like that of the king or greater than that of Indra. Mahakarma, of great deeds. Karma means action or deeds. Great deeds because Vishnu is the source of the creation and of all the elements like Akasha, etc. is Vishnu. So he is Mahakarma. Kritakarma. Kritakarma is fulfilled. One who has performed karma, one who has done all that is to be done. Unlike your and my to-do list, we have, most of us have several things not on one list, but on several lists, if you're anything like me. Kritakarma, one, and Vishnu is unlike you and me, one who's has performed all the karma. And this karma is in the form of dharma, in the form of the laws of the universe. And krutagamaha, agama means scriptures or Vedas. The one who has done the Vedas, meaning one who is the source or the author of the Vedas. Verse 85.
Udbhavasundarasundo ratnanabhasulochanaha, ratnanabhasulochanaha, arko vajasanashringi, arko vajasanashringi, jayantasarvavijayi.
Udbhava, origin, one who being the cause of all has no birth, one who is the origin, one who has superior birth. He is the origin of all births, but also one who has superior birth. And Ishvara's birth is superior because it is taken of his free will, not due to karma. So there are two meanings, one who is the origin or the cause of all, and one who has a superior birth. Sundaraha, sundara, as most of you know, is an adjective meaning beautiful. Extended, one who has a charm that captivates all, one whose form is very captivating. And this is seen very nicely in the Vaishnava tradition, where they do different alankaras to the murti, where they dress up the murti in different forms, with jewels, with sandal paste, clothes made out of only sandal paste, many different forms. That is sundaraha. So these different forms, the beautiful forms of Vishnu, are used very useful in saguna meditation, when you can choose a certain form, a certain sundara form, a beautiful form for focusing our attention on. Sundaha. Sundaha means tender. One who melts our heart because of his great compassion, like a tenderness that a mother would show towards her a newborn child, or the tenderness that a spouse shows spouses show towards each other, or a loved one, any loved one. Ratna Nabha. Ratna means beautiful or jewel, and Nabha is navel. Beautiful navel or jewel navel refers to the Lord in the form of earth. The earth which has all the ratnas, all the jewels in its nabhi, in its navel, that is within it. So Ishvara is Ratna Nabha. Sulochanaha, beautiful eyed. That is usually the translation. Another meaning is one who has knowledge of everything. Arch means to worship. Arch to worship. Arka is a religious ceremony or a hymn. Two meanings for arka is hymn or a religious ceremony. So arkaha is one who is worshipped in a religious hymn or a ceremony, and it is said that even beings like Brahmaji, who themselves are by themselves objects of worship, even someone like Brahmaji worships Vishnu. So Vishnu, arkaha, is one who is adored, one who is worshipped. Vajasanaha. Vaja means food, and sana means offering. So the one who offers food, the giver of food, is Vishnu. Shrangi. Shrangi is horn. We saw that in an earlier verse, Shranga. This could refer to the Matsya avatara, the fish avatara that Vishnu takes, which has a horn, and that is used to pull the boat which carries all the living beings and the Vedas to protect it from the torrential rains. A reference given in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10 verse 25 for Shringi is Krishna says he is in the form of the great mountain like Himalayas. So a very huge Himalayas, like a horn, very big mountain. Jayantaha is the one who always conquers, who is a conqueror. And Sarva Vijayi. Sarvavit is knower of all, and Jai is one who is conqueror, one who conquers or ever victorious conquers our inner and outer enemies. So Sarvavit Jai can be a knower of all, one who is Sarvavit, or one who is a conqueror, ever victorious. Next verse. Suvarna Bindurad Akshobhyah Suvarna Bindurakshobhyah Sarvavagishvareshwarah Sarvavagishvareshwarah Maharudo Mahagarto Maharudo Mahagarto Mahabhuto Mahanidhi Mahabhuto Mahanidhi. Suvarna Binduho. Suvarna, you all know, means gold, and Bindu can mean a limb. So one who is golden limbed is Suvarna Binduho. Another interpretation is one who is of the nature of the sound syllable Om, because in this form, writing of Om in Sanskrit, You have letters that are presents, varnas, a and u and makara, a and u, and the bindu or the anuswara makara present. So one who is in the, as the symbol om is suvarna binduhu. Akshobhyaha. Akshobhyaha means who is not perturbed or afflicted, imperturbable, not afflicted by raga dveshas. Sarva vagishvareshvaraha. Sarva vagishvareshvaraha. So the Ishvara of Sarva Vagi, Sarva Vagishvara. So the Lord of Alvak meaning speech. So the Lord of all the Lords of speech, and there are many Lords that are mentioned. Sarva, all these Lords are, say, Brihaspati, who is the Lord of Vak and the Guru of Devas. Saraswati, who is the deity of Vak, our speech. Brahmaji and Agni also are considered blessed to bless speech. So the Lord who is the Lord of all these is Sarva Vagishvareshvaraha. Indirectly, the master of learning. We learn through speech, through words. And that is the concept here. Excuse me. Maharidaha. Rida means an ocean or a lake. Maharidaha, he is called the Great Lake or an ocean. Ocean of Ananda, ocean of immeasurable joy. Mahagartaha. Garta means a pit or a canyon. Mahagartaha, great canyon or a great pit or a great chasm. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 verse 14, Krishna tells Arjuna that his maya is difficult to cross. So something that has a big chasm, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, is difficult to cross. Another translation for Garta is a chariot. So the one who is a great charioteer, Maharathaha, this is a reference in the Mahabharata. Mahabhutaha, a great being, one who is not divided by the three periods of time, past, present and future, that is one who exists in all three periods of time, is Mahabhutaha. Mahanidhihi, nidhi means storehouse or treasure. So one in whom all beings are placed as precious treasure. The one who himself is a great treasure, who is the safekeeper of our whole universe. This whole universe being a treasure. Excuse me. Verse 87. Kumudakundarakundaha. Kumudakundarakundaha. Parijanyah pavano nilaha. Parijanyah pavano nilaha. Amrutasho mrutavapuhu. Amrutasho mrutavapuhu. Sarvagnya sarvato mukaha. Sarvagnya sarvato mukaha. Ku means earth and mud meaning to delight. So one who delights the earth, one who makes Bhuma Devi happy and makes people on the earth happy by bringing rains at the right time. If we didn't have rains and crop, it's going to be mighty hard to survive. So Kumudaha is one who gladdens the earth. Kundaraha. Kunda is a name for a jasmine flower, the jasmine. Kundaraha is one who offers results, who gives us results as pure as jasmine, like jasmine, or one who accepts pure things. That is also Kundaraha. Kundaha is a jasmine, or one whose limbs are as beautiful as jasmine. And other meanings for Kundaha is one who gave the offering of the earth to the rishis. Or a third meaning is one who cuts the earth. All related to ku is meaning earth. Parjanyaha. Parjanya means rain cloud. Parjanyaha, one who resembles the cloud, this rain cloud, and resembles how? By extinguishing three kinds of heat or tapas. And this three kinds of heat or tapas arising from three different afflictions, threefold afflictions of, caused by a material, psychological, or spiritual reasons, or threefold afflictions, as you might know, why we chant Shanti, Om Shanti, three times at the end of a prayer is afflictions or obstructions coming that are called adhyatmika, coming from within us, adhidaivika, from outside, and adhibhautika, from adhidaivika is natural things like heavy rains or thunder or fires, and adhibhautika coming from other bhutas around us. So a parijanyaha is one who as a cloud extinguishes these three kinds of tapas. Pavanaha is a purifier, the one who purifies. Anilaha has many meanings, one of which means unprovoked. Another meaning is one who is ever awakened, who is always awake, one who is easily accessible, one who is without an inducer, who doesn't get provoked. Several meanings for Anilaha. Amrutashaha. Amrita is immortal and ashaha, enjoyer. Enjoyer of immortality. Amrita means nectar. Enjoyer of immortality. He enjoys his own nature, Swarupa, as Ananda. This is referring to a nirguna aspect of Brahma as Satchit Ananda. Amrita Vapuhu. Vapus means body or nature. So the one whose form of body is Amrita, immortal. Sarvagnyaha, nyaha to know, nya to know, nyaha, the one who knows, sarvagnyaha, all knowing. Sarvato mukhaha. Mukhaha means face or eyes or heads. Sarvataha, all over. So his face, the one who has eyes all over, all seeing. And in Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, verse 13, Krishna says, Sarvato shishiro mukham. He has eyes, heads, and faces everywhere. Obviously, this doesn't mean that Ishvara is some kind of a deformed or odd character physically. Eyes, heads, and faces everywhere refers to Ishvara present in all of us, in every single living being. That Ishvara is present. Verse 88. Sulabhasuvratasiddhaha shatrujit shatrutapanaha nyagrodhodumbaroshvathash chanurandhranishudhanaha. Sulabha means easy or attainable. Suvrataha, one of great vows. Vrata is vows. Or it can also mean one who accepts pure offerings, or one who is a non-enjoyer. One who is a non-enjoyer by being a witness. One who doesn't, who only witnesses as Brahman. Siddhaha means perfect, or one who is not dependent on another. The ever-existent one is Siddhaha, ever-established one. Shatrujit. Jit is conqueror of Shatru, enemies. Shatrutapanaha. The cha of Shatru, the sha of Shatru is become cha due to sandhi rules. Shatrutapanaha. The one who torments the enemies of the gods, one who afflicts the enemies of the gods. Now, the next three names are the names of trees belonging to the ficus family, and the characteristic of these trees are they're very big and they give a lot of shade. So, Nyagrodaha. So, it's Nyagrodaha, Udambaraha, and Ashwataha. So, Nyagrodaha is a banyan tree, Udambaraha is a fig tree, and Ashwataha is a peepal tree. Nyagrodaha is one who is above all, like these big trees, one who is above all, and one who binds all by covering them with maya, one who covers, or like a big tree, you can imagine these huge trees covering a wide spans of area, covering. So Ishvara is as though covering with maya. Udambaraha, one who is above the sky, it's because these trees are really tall, one who is superior to all, one who is above the sky, one who is beyond space and time. And Ashwataha, here it refers to the Ashwatha tree mentioned in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15 verse 1, where it says Urdva Mulamadashakam Ashwatham Prarurav Prahuravyayam. So this refers to the tree of samsara vriksha, which has its roots above and branches below. Chanura Andhra Nishudhanaha. Chanura was a valiant fighter, and one who destroys Chanura is Chanurandhra Nishudhanaha, the destroyer of Chanura. In our opening prayers on Saturday morning, or our closing, when we chant to Krishna, we say Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam. That is this reference to this Chanura demon. Verse 89. Sahasrarchis sapta jihwa, Sahasrarchis sapta jihwa, Saptaidha sapta vahanaha, Saptaidha sapta vahanaha, Amurtiranaghochintyo, Amurtiranaghochintyo, Bhayakrit bhayanashanaha, Bhayakrit Payanashanaha. Sapta Sahasrarchihi. Sahasrarchihi at having Sahasra, though it means thousand, here it means innumerable, many. So Sahasrarchihi, the one who has innumerable rays. Sapta jihwa, sapta means seven, and jihwa means a tongue. And here it describes the fire, the tongue of the flame. And Mundaka Upanishad describes there are seven tongues of the flame, and each of them is given a name. And I'll just mention that briefly. Kali, the black one. Karali, the frightening one. Manojava, the swift one. Sulohita, the red one. Sudhumravarna, the smoky one. Sudhumravarna, the smoky one. Spulingini, the sparkling one. And Vishwarupi, the one that moves around. So they had very poetic imagination, where they were even able to label or name each tongue of the flame. Saptaidhaha. Edhas means brilliance or flame or fuel. Sapta edhaha, seven flames, one having seven flames. Saptavahanaha. Vahana means chariot, indirectly horses. Here, Saptavahana, seven horses. It's a reference to the sun, which is depicted as traveling in the sky in a chariot, which is drawn by seven horses. It can also stand for seven colors of the spectrum. Amurtihi. Murti is form. Amurti is formless. Anaghaha. Anagha means sin or sorrow, and anagha is one without sin, the sinless one. Achintyaha, one who is inconceivable, one who cannot be subject to thought, one who cannot be one who being, because of his transcendent nature, he cannot be subject to thought, cannot be understood easily. Bhayakrit, one who causes fear, and also one who removes fear. Two meanings for this. Bhayakrit, one who causes fear in people who are doing adharmic actions, and one who removes fear for those dharmic people. Bhayanashana, nashana, destruction, and bhaya, fear, one who destroys the fear. Verse 90. Anurbrahat krishasthulo, anurbrahat krishasthulo, gunabhrinirguno mahan, gunabhrinirguno mahan, adhruttasvadhruttasvasyaha, pragvamsho vamshavardhanaha, Pragvam Shovam Shavardhanaha. Anuhu. So all these, many of these words describe qualities of Ishvara. Anuhu is extremely small or extremely subtle. And in Mundaka Upanishad, verse 3, 1, section 1, 9th verse, the subtle atma, sukshmatma, is to be comprehended by the mind, this anuhu. Brihat meaning big or huge. In Katha Upanishad, it says he is greater than any great being, obviously referring to Brahman as obviously referring to a nirguna aspect of Brahman. Krishaha means one who is thin, implying non-material with a sthula sharira. This is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Sthulaha is thick or being or huge, being all-pervasive, being the inner pervader of all, he is sthulaha. So only that which can be seen can be objectified with these above four words, with these four words of Anuhu, Brihat, Krishaha, and Sthulaha. And Ishvara or consciousness, which is the subject, cannot be objectified and is beyond all these qualities. Gunabhrin, bearing qualities, or the one who is the supporter of the three gunas, rajas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Nirgunaha, one who is free from qualities. Since the gunas are not real, are not truly real, Ishvara is nirgunaha, free, non-dual, which is free from qualities. Mahan means vast, or the great one, the immeasurable one, being free from all gunas. These are all names referring to Brahman, beyond qualities, beyond form, immeasurable. Adhrutaha, it says unsupported. How is Ishvara unsupported? Being the support of all. He is not supported by anything external to him. He is self-supported. Swadhrutaha, that's the next word, self-supported. Swasyaha, Asya means face. So Suasya. Suasya, one who has a beautiful face. Prag Vamshaha. Vamshaha means lineage, and Prag means prior or ancient, the one of ancient lineage. And Vamshavardhanaha, the one who makes the lineage grow, a lineage expander, is Vamshavardhanaha. So we'll stop there with the verses, learning new verses, and we'll go to our meditation. And what I thought we'd do this week was Hanuman Jayanti. Last week was Rama Jayanti, and we did a meditation on Rama. This week being Hanuman Jayanti, I thought we would take up a meditation with Hanuman as the focus. And there are several reasons for this. As you all, most of you may know the story of Ramayana, Hanuman was considered to be the most ardent devotee of Rama. And you might have seen pictures of Hanuman with his chest open, and there's a little image of Rama, Sita and Lakshmana in his heart. Or another image where Rama and Sita are sitting on the throne, Lakshmana standing next to them, and Hanuman always bowing down at Rama's feet, showing devotion, showing surrender. Hanuman was also one of Rama's best friends, as in the Kishkindha Kanda of the Ramayana, Hanuman takes Rama to meet Sugriva, so that Rama could help get Sugriva win his kingdom, get his kingdom back from his brother Vali, Sugriva, who was exiled. There are stories, most of you know some of these stories, where Hanuman does not know his own strength. So in the Sundara Kanda, when they have to cross the Lanka to look for Sita, Hanuman was a little diffident, and he had to be reminded by Jambavan that he has immense power and strength, that he was the son of the wind god Vayu, and he will be able to cross across this mighty ocean, Lanka, to go into Lanka to look for Sita. And there are also childhood stories of Hanuman who, as a child, thought the sun, the glowing sun, was a fruit, and he easily goes towards it to catch the fruit, to take it. Hanuman's strength, some more of aspects of Hanuman's strength as shown in the Ramayana. When Lakshmana was wounded in the battle in Yuddhakanda, they had to get the Sanjeevani herb to bring Lakshmana, to heal him or to bring him back to life. And Hanuman flies to this mountain where the Sanjeevani herb is growing, but he doesn't know which is the Sanjeevani herb. So he carries the whole mountain back to the battlefield where Lakshmana is laying. So there are so many stories of Hanuman's strength. And where does he get the strength from? From knowing that Rama dwells within. Being such a devotee of Rama, surrendering to Rama, knowing that Rama dwells within him. And in the same way, we can get our strength and courage during these very difficult times of the pandemic by knowing that Ishvara dwells within us all as divinity, as consciousness. Just as Hanuman gets his strength from Rama dwelling within him, we can get inner courage and strength knowing that Ishvara as consciousness is the divinity that dwells within us. And once we have this knowledge, nothing can truly disturb or shake us, even during this crisis that we are all facing. And just as Hanuman was always ready to help others, just as Hanuman helped Sugriva, helped Rama, helped Lakshmana, we too can reach out and help others, just as Hanuman did. Reach out, of course, in this requirement of social distancing, we may not be able to physically reach out to someone to help them, but we can always pick up the phone. We can buy groceries for someone when we go out shopping and drop it off for them if they are unable to go out. We can chant together. We can meditate together. So there are many ways that we can reach out to others to help others during this pandemic. With that inner strength, with that knowledge that Ishvara dwells within us, just as Hanuman knew, got his strength from Rama dwelling within him. So for today's meditation, I thought it's conventional to chant Hanuman Chalisa on Hanuman Jayanti, or at any time when there is fear or when we feel diffident. So this Hanuman Chalisa is a 40 verse, Chalisa means 40, 40 verse stotra in praise of Hanuman. Many verses in this Chalisa and Hanuman Chalisa describe Hanuman's strength as seen in the stories of Ramayana. And as I said, it's often chanted when we may feel fear or we are afraid. And it helps us get courage knowing that Hanuman is there as a protector or a friend within us. The Hanuman Chalisa is in the Hindi is a little, it is in Hindi, it's a little quaint, but I think most of you will get the bulk of its meaning. And rather than me chanting it and you just listening, or many of you know the Hanuman Chalisa by memory, which means you can accompany the chant, I thought we listen to the Hanuman Chalisa chanting as rendered by an artist that I just came across recently, Shekhar Rav Jiani. He's a very soulful voice. It's a very melodious chanting. Most of the Hanuman Chalisa recordings are very fast and the bhava doesn't come in, but somehow I liked this rendering of the Hanuman Chalisa by Shekhar Rav Jiani, and hopefully you will like it too. It's about 10 minutes. So we'll use that for our meditation today. Not even 10 minutes, it's a little shorter. We'll use that for our meditation today, as we do in every class. Let us begin by sitting fairly straight with our backs erect, comfortable, but in a very alert posture, keeping our eyes closed, and our hands are on our laps. And we can begin by bringing our awareness to our breathing, just breathing normally. And letting go with every out-breath, letting go of any tension we might be holding in our body as we sit here getting ready to meditate. And we can make a sankalpa, a statement of intent, that just for the next 10 minutes or so, all we need to do is listen to the recitation, to the rendering of this Hanuman Chalisa. Of course, if you know the meaning, that's an added benefit. But if you don't, just sitting with the courage that Ishvara dwells within us as Hanuman, so we can get the strength to bear any adversity, any crisis that so many people are also facing right now. So you can begin with imagining a picture of Hanuman that you like, either Hanuman bowing down at the feet of Rama, sitting at the feet of Rama and Sita, Hanuman with his chest open and there is a picture of Rama and Sita in his heart. Hanuman carrying the entire mountain, bringing the Sanjeevani herb to Lakshmana. Or Hanuman hugging Rama when he meets him for the first time. Or Hanuman racing towards the sun. Hanuman's devotion, writing Rama on every brick that was going to be laid, on every stone that was going to be laid to cross the Lanka, to cross the sea, ocean, to reach Lanka. Any image of Hanuman you can imagine or picture in your mind that will invoke a strength, invoke a sense of strength or courage in your hearts that will help dispel the fear or anxiety or uncertainty that we all are facing right now. So with this image of Hanuman in your heart, we can listen to the Hanuman Chalisa. Shri Guru Saroj Nij Manu Sudhar Varnam Raghubar Biman Jasu Jo Dayuk Phal Chari Buddhi
कार सुग्रीव ही कीना राम मिलाए राजपद दीन Jai Siya Ram, 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 Jai Siya
So as we come to the conclusion of this meditation, let us sit for a minute in silence, holding the strength and courage in our hearts and minds that we can get by dwelling on Ishvara present within us as Hanuman, as Rama. And with that strength and courage, knowing that limitless source of joy within us, we don't need to be afraid or fearful of anything. And we can reach out and help others. We can share this fearlessness, the strength that we have, with others who need it more. We'll end with our closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityor ma amrutam gamaya Om shantish shantish shantihi. So that concludes our Vishnu Sahasranama class and meditation for April 12th. We'll continue every week. We'll be posting a meditation next Sunday as well. Until then, stay safe, be well. Namaskar.